Well, hi everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Born to Talk radio show. My guest today is Diana Rode Hosford. She is the Senior Vice President, Global Sports and Entertainment for TAPS. Now, that's not TAPS like what you do with your shoes. TAPS stands for Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you so much. It's such a joy to be with you.
I have goosebumps because what you guys do is so remarkable, and I always love sharing what nonprofits do. So let's first get to know you, my friend. So please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first, Marsha, I just have to say not only thank you for having me, but thank you for finding us. I love how we met and how we connected. It was in a restaurant, as you remember, in Los Angeles. We were there just about a month ago with surviving military family members to celebrate the life and service of their loved ones. And we were at a restaurant having dinner, and some people went to the bathroom, and you saw their t-shirts. And you said, "What is that? I have to learn about that." And it was your excitement, you know, your engagement and your willingness to give us a platform to share what it is that we do that has just gotten me so excited about speaking with you today. So very happy that we ran into one another in that restaurant in Los Angeles and ended up here today.
It was meant to be, and I'm going to put a little parenthesis around the Los Angeles for those of you that are locals. It was in Westchester, which is where I live, which is where I've always lived for almost my entire life. And that restaurant was a place that I go to frequently, and I just couldn't help but notice you guys. I mean, I was just drawn to you. So it was meant to be, my friend. It was definitely meant to be. So now that we've established how we met, let's have you tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am the vice president, senior vice president of sports and entertainment at TAPS. I just was promoted in December, so I'm still getting used to adding the senior into that title. I am a wife, I am a mother, I am a proud daughter. You know, I have taken this opportunity in the world to try to create opportunities for people to find joy and bring them together in ways that can be engaging and meaningful. And I think a lot of that stems from my upbringing. I lost my father when I was a little girl. So working in this particular space with TAPS and the bereaved families of the fallen, it's really all been about bringing joy to families, to those families who sacrificed so much for the country. So I went to American University. I love to travel. I love sports. I also love meditation. I love art. If I'm not at a TAPS event or out walking my dog in my neighborhood in D.C., or spending time with family, you will find me in a museum anywhere in the world. I made a commitment to myself last year that anywhere, wherever I was in the world, I would make sure that I got to museum at least once a month. And that's been really a gift for myself. I've always felt that looking at beautiful things was good for the inside of me. So
that's so interesting. Any type of museum or just, I mean, do you research the museums wherever you travel?
Yeah, I do. And I sort of figure out, is there an hour within, you know, within the timing that I'm there? If I fly in a bit earlier, will I be able to get to a museum? Fine art. I love just looking at beautiful art. But if I'm in a place where, you know, there's an incredible architecture museum or, you know, natural history, I'll do that too. But if I could sit and look at beautiful art all day long.
That's so cool. I'm actually going on a cruise in November, and I'm going to be going to the Van Gogh Museum with my brother and other people in, what is it, Amsterdam or Budapest? I don't remember which one it's in, but it's
going to be. I have a friend who went and said that was an exceptional one. So
cool.
I'm actually looking at a magnet from a Van Gogh that I got to see when I was actually in Los Angeles on the trip where we met. I went to the Getty, and then I went to the Hammer. Both museums have beautiful Van Goghs there, so I captured that.
Well, let's talk about TAPS, and I want to repeat again that TAPS is Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. So tell us about TAPS.
So TAPS started in 1994 by a woman named Bonnie Carroll after her husband, Brigadier General Tom Carroll, was killed in an Army plane crash with seven other soldiers. So it's an interesting story. Bonnie was working in the West Wing of the White House for President Reagan, and there were some whales trapped in an iceberg in Alaska, and the National Guard wanted to use a Russian icebreaker to free the whales. And President Reagan said to Bonnie, who, you know, was a service member, can you find out what's going on and why they want to use a Russian icebreaker? And this is the height of the Cold War. So she called the then colonel in charge, and they fell in love over the phone. And she went up to Alaska. I won't tell you what happens with the whales. It was actually a Disney movie called The Big Miracle. That Bonnie's love story is part of that movie. So if you or your listener were interested in seeing that movie, I would highly recommend it, called The Big Miracle. It came out about 14 years ago. But I can't tell you what happened with the whales, but at the end of the movie, Bonnie and Tom get married. And it's wonderful. And the movie is great, and it really does kind of explain that whole process of what they went through and how they fell in love. But what you don't see in the movie is that he's tragically killed in this Army plane crash.
Wow.
And at that time, there was no organization that cared for the families. There was the government and the military to administer benefits and have a dignified funeral, but nobody really to walk alongside the survivor, nobody to wrap their arms around the survivor. And as we know, and Martha, as you know, and I'm sure many of your listeners know, the people that understand best what you're going through are those who've been down the road you're traveling.
Right.
So TAPS really is about peer-based emotional support, connecting a surviving widow with another widow, connecting a sibling with another sibling, a surviving dad with another dad, because they understand and they can connect and bond and share in a way that, you know, others just can't. And so she started TAPS in 94 during peacetime and was connecting with the surviving families of people who'd been killed in terrorist attacks or had died in training accidents. And she was doing, you know, beautiful work, very, very engaging, meaningful, impactful. And then 9/11 happened. And then we were a country at war. And so things were very different. You know, Bonnie was in Alaska on 9/11, and, you know, she obviously saw the news, flew to Washington and ran the family programs out of the Pentagon.
Wow.
The bereaved families of those who died in the Pentagon 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 6 weeks straight. And she worked with all of those survivors that she had worked with previously in the years as, you know, prior to when, you know, that happened, when TAPS began. And they all came to Washington to help the newly bereaved, to support them, to engage them, to tell them what they had learned and the journey that they were about to embark on. And then, of course, things started to change of being a nation at war and everything, the face of our country really changing after 9/11. And then, you know, casualties started to come in. And so we were now dealing with newly bereaved families who had loved ones killed in action. And then, you know, years and years, and we started to see suicide loss and then illness loss. And now, all these years later, 25 years later, you know, our two main causes of death that where we receive survivors are illness and suicide. And so we've started programming specifically for families who are grieving deaths due to those causes, so that there is an immediate connection and understanding and people who know and are willing to share that. So we've evolved, the organization has evolved in such a beautiful way. I'm so proud of that, of specifically that work, that we change with the needs of the community, the needs of the military community, the survivor community, and we understand.
That's
always a place for them to go. They can come here, and it's always a home.
That's one. You have a wonderful website, and I will make sure that people are able to go to that website and see all the offerings that you have there. So how did you end up actually working there? What was the background for you?
So I am not a military survivor, but I understand childhood loss. As I mentioned, I lost my dad when I was just 13 years old. But I had been working on the Washington International Horse Show. I was here in D.C. It's a World Cup qualifier. Really fantastic equestrian event, has been attended by, you know, by presidents and all sorts of things. Really beautiful, exceptional event. And when I started working for them, I had said, you know, what do you have that no other, you know, equestrian event of this caliber? What do you have that they don't have? And one was that they were urban, right? In the city, horses were stabled, million-dollar horses are stabled on F Street, right? All these. Also, the fact that there were, you know, we were in Washington, D.C., so we had the president's horses. There's a herd of horses at Arlington, at Fort Myer, which is right next to Arlington National Cemetery, where the fallen are buried. And so there were horses that have presidential tack, that are ceremonial, that take part in ceremonial events. You know, and there are cultural things that we could do in D.C. with the, you know, the diplomatic community. And so we decided to at the horse show, we were going to build a military program, and we were going to try to shine a light on horses in the military. So I started to do some homework, and I loved that TAPS was for the families, the families left behind, and how beautiful was that? So I had a short list of three or four charities, and then one of our board members at the horse show had a list of three or four charities, and TAPS was on both of them.
And oh, so interesting.
Okay, so now we know this is the one. So I called up the helpline, you know, that TAPS has had since, you know, the beginning of the organization, 1-800 number that people can call, whatever their needs are. And I said, hi, you know, my name is Diana, and I would like to, I'm working with the horse show, and we'd like to help TAPS and create an event. And they put me right through to Bonnie.
Destiny.
It was great. And you want to talk destiny. Her first degree was in equine science. She used to break racehorses.
Oh, gosh.
And she was thrilled at the opportunity to do something at the horse show. And then also, you know, that we could, there was going to be a donation to TAPS, and they could have a booth on the concourse, and, you know, all the people coming by could, you know, help to, you know, raise money for the organization. But one of the things that was so amazing, Marsha, was that TAPS had written a children's book about a caisson horse. The caisson platoon is here, like I mentioned, at Fort Myer, and they are the horses and that are part of the ceremonial honor, you know, to bury the fallen. Had written a children's book about a caisson horse named Clinger. And Clinger is a real horse at the barn. And so when we were talking about what it is that we could do, how could we create it to have it be meaningful, the idea was to bring TAPS, you know, to the show in every way, but to bring them to Kids Day, because they had this children's book, and then we would bring caisson horse, the real horse from the army horse from the barn, to come over, and children could get the book, meet the horse, and have a whole lovely experience. So we did this for about 5 years, and it was wonderful for TAPS, and it was great for the horse show. And, you know, we really, people started to understand that there were military horses. And so how great was that? And people see them, right? You see the beautiful dignified burials at Arlington National Cemetery that have a caisson with multiple horses. But to be able to meet one in person and have that whole experience was really special. And then in 2012, Bonnie said to me, this was so great, can we do it again next year? And I said to her, I'm moving on. I was about, you know, I'm a 5 years in and out of, you know, I'd go into a job, do it for 5 years, and then I would move on. And she said, come work for me. And I said, oh, I have another, you know, I've got something else lined up, but thank you so much. I've really enjoyed working with you. And she said, come have lunch with me. So the next week, I go and have lunch with this woman who's, you know, like this national treasure, has changed the world for bereaved military families. And so we're having lunch, and she puts her hand on my arm, and she said, you have to do it for the children. So how do you say no to that?
Right.
So I said, okay, I'll do this for a year. That was November of 2012. Okay. It is now April of 2026, and I'm still here.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. And there was, you know, it was just meant to be in that space, you know, with her at the horse show, and then to be able to come, you know, here and see the incredible work that's being done. I mean, what we do in my department, which we can chat about later, is great, but what they do, what the organization does for the families, it's everything from empowerment programming for women, you know, who are, you know, widowed women, or, you know, it's support programs for surviving parents, it's programs for siblings and young adults, kids, and engage active duty service members and veterans as mentors. So there's this very beautiful full picture of how to engage the survivor on all the different facets of what we can do from when they come in forever, You know, we
That's
have
wonderful.
some women who, you know, we I'm thinking of a couple in particular. One woman who was pregnant when her husband was killed, and so her needs are different than, you know, her. So when her child was old enough to come to TAPS, he came to TAPS, and when he's going to need educational services, we'll be here for him, right? And so all these different things, all the different opportunities for people to come together, you know, and like I mentioned in my department, if you like sports, that's great. If you like entertainment, that's great too. But if you want to go hiking up a mountain, we can do that with you. If you want to go run a marathon, you can do that with a fallen hero, an image of a fallen hero on your
Oh,
back.
that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, you know, I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about the sports and entertainment part of TAP, since that's where you sit as a senior vice president.
So sports and entertainment, honestly, Marcia, it's like become it's like, I don't want to, it's like another child in some ways. It's just, you know, it just, I'm so proud of what we have been able to do, and I couldn't do it without the incredible team that I have, with Jessica and Natalie and Grace and Morgan and all the people who've ever worked on the team. But basically, we use the platforms of sports and entertainment to create meaningful opportunities for families of the fallen to honor their loved one's life and service. So what that means is we work with an NFL team, maybe the players wear the initials of a fallen hero on their helmet during Salute to Service, which is in the month of November around Veterans Day. And we create opportunities for those players and the team to then engage with the family. And we make sure that family, the families we reach out to, are fans of that team, or the fallen hero is a fan of that team. So it's even more meaningful. So a family, suppose they're, you know, they're, I'm thinking about specifically your favorite teams, which I know are the Clippers, the Sparks, and the Dodgers. But I will say, we had one surviving family, you know, and there's more than 150,000 across America that we've been able to engage and support in one way or another over the last, 32 years. And they had told us that they were big Yankees fans. The fallen hero was a big Yankees fan. And not only was he a big fan, but he got married in his Yankees jersey, and he had sold popcorn at the stadium before he joined the military. So they're all this like beautiful full round picture of, you know, how much love there was for the New York Yankees by this fallen service member. So when we took that family to New York, it was so meaningful for them to stand in a place that was so special to their loved one and honor his life and service. So those are the kind of events that we make all across the country, all year long, about 150 to 200 events, all that have these meaningful moments of celebration and of life and service. And this was a new element to TAPS, right? So much of it was about caring for the survivor. How can we support the survivor? And this was a way for them to celebrate them and bring their loved one back into that environment.
Right.
Yeah.
I can personally relate to that, since my husband has passed away. When I go to a Dodger game or I go to a Sparks game, you know, that's something that we did together. When the WNBA started 30 years ago, we were original Sparks season ticket holders. Women's basketball has been around for 30 years. So he goes with me when I experience that. So I understand exactly what you're saying. And how did this all begin for you, that you did the sports entertainment part?
So, okay, Marcia, now we're going back in time a little bit. So Lori puts her hand on my arm. She tells me I have to do it for the children. I sign up. I say yes, I'm going to do it for the children. And then maybe 10 weeks later, she says to me, Diana, I'd like you to come to Kabul, Afghanistan with me. And I said, okay. And prior to, you know, in the nonprofit world, I worked in television news. My husband is a television news producer. And I went home and I said, you know, Bonnie's asked me to go to Afghanistan with her. And my husband's first response was, you know, who would you be going with? And I told him, you know, we'd be with the military. And And he said, you should go because, you know, what an unbelievable experience to have. And of course, in my mind, the logistics, talking to all the people within the military space that we needed to get confirmations from and approvals from and all of that, and visas and all that. Before I knew it, you know, I'm leaving in 2 days, and I'm looking at myself thinking, oh my God, I'm going to a war zone. I have like a 9-year-old child, you know, and so.
What am I thinking, right?
What am I thinking?
Oh my gosh.
And off we went, and I never felt more patriotic in my life, Marcia. We got off the plane and we went to the base, and I just felt so unbelievably patriotic, seeing 1,200 allied forces all strategizing, talking, you know, coming together and thinking, okay, this is unbelievable. This is what you see on TV. This is all of those things. So, and we went and we had meetings and we did some very, you know, impactful work. And then one night, every night was sleepless. You know, I was going to say one night on a sleepless night on base in Kabul. That's what I joke, that Teams for Chaps was born on a sleepless night on base in Kabul. Because one night I was laying on my bed in my room on base, and I started thinking that something needed to be born from this experience. You don't just go to a war zone and, you know, and just have, you know, see what you see and come back with, you know, with whatever. Something needed to be born from it. And I started thinking about sport and the universality of sport and how it brings people together in a way that it really does. The connections, the bonds, the sharing, you know, were really, and I work for one of the most inspiring women on the planet was Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who started Special Olympics.
Wow.
And she had in one of her opening ceremony speeches talked about, you know, warring nations coming together on the playing field of sport. And so in my mind was the power of sport, the power of sport. And on the flight home, I said to Bonnie, I think I want to start a sports program. And she just looked at me and she said, go for it. And, you know, we got back, and that was April. That was 13 years ago this month. I mean, I think I was probably there 13 years ago on this day. And I thought, all right, how do I need to know this? And, you know, so I thought about how it could be structured, how it would function, how could it be a no-brainer, how could it be a turnkey? I didn't ever want to hear no. And so I thought about that and put together a concept that was different, unique, and then there it began. Then we 6 months later, we launched with one team, the Washington Capitals, November 1st, 2013. And shortly thereafter, we had the Washington Wizards. They have the same owner, so same foundation. The president of the foundation, Elizabeth Pace, is unbelievable. And then I thought, okay, we have two. And I said to Bonnie, if we can find success in one city on all fronts, raise funds, raise awareness, create meaningful opportunities for families with every sports team in one city, we can grow. And then, you know, it was a matter of months before we had the Washington, then the Redskins, now Commanders, and then the soccer teams and the baseball team and the tennis events and obviously the equestrian event we had.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, we could grow. And we went to LA and we went to Boston and we went to Atlanta and we went to New York. And now, 13 years later, we work with more than 200 teams across the country. We're a salute to service partners for the NFL. We are a major military partner for the NBA and for Major League Baseball. We work with all the clubs and franchises in those three leagues. We have about 2/3 of the NHL, soccer teams, the NWSL, and the WNBA are all priorities this year to make sure that we work with every team in the league, because we might do a lot of great stuff in Los Angeles, but if we don't, you know, we have done stuff with the Sparks, but maybe that family that went, their big thing is women's basketball. Mm-hmm. Maybe they weren't really interested in the Dodgers or weren't really interested in the Lakers, but women's basketball, that's what gets them. So we want to make sure that we can create the most meaningful opportunity. So working with teams across the country and the diversity in teams across the country really allows us to touch upon what will be the most meaningful for the families.
I love this. And you travel a lot for this work. What has been your most meaningful experience? I can't even imagine what your life is like.
It is a lot of travel, I will say. But you know what? If we can make those incredible moments, it's so worth it. You know, it's all the, you know, you moving around, getting places, coordinating, and there is so much on the back end of working with families, creating bios so the families, so the teams know who they're honoring, the family member, but also the fallen hero. So it's paying tribute to them, and celebrating that life and service. I think the most meaningful experiences are the ones where it really is an oh my gosh moment for the family. I mean, I probably have one from every different sport, but the first time we did the NFL draft was a really incredible moment. It was 2017. We were making a pick for the Philadelphia Eagles, and we had the family on the stage with the commissioner, and they made the pick. We did all the morning TV shows that morning, all the local channels, because it was so special that they were honoring a local fallen hero. So a local hometown fallen service member, his widow and son got to announce the pick for the team.
Oh my gosh.
And in the stadium, I mean, you know, because they did it on the Rocky steps in front of the museum. So it was this incredible, like, you know, they came on the stage and people were just screaming USA, USA, and there was just so much energy. And so those moments where it's and then my phone starts blowing up. People are like, do you know that Taps is announcing a draft pick? And I said, yes, I'm here. So I mean, those moments where it's, you know, Marsh, what we do is so personal. It's honoring someone who has served and died. It's someone who isn't there to teach their son how to shave or walk their daughter down the aisle or teach the family how to change a tire. But when we can turn those moments, those very personal moments about that specific loved one into a celebration of their service by allowing their family to do something so meaningful for his favorite team, it's like, it's absolutely mind-blowing, to be
It
completely honest with you, to stand there and to hear that and to feel that. I mean, our hearts are pumping and everyone's excited, and so the experiences that are just where everyone else, America or England when we're in England, or Australia when we're in Australia, gets a little bit of a taste of the greatness that we're able to make happen and how we can celebrate life and service and recognize that family. Those are the ones that really, I think, that really light me up. And I will say one more. When we walked in the World Series parade for the Washington Nationals, and that was exciting and amazing. We also worked with the NBA and USA Basketball for the Road to Rio, and we also did one of, you know, some of the pre-games for Tokyo and for Paris as well. But the Road to Rio, that was working with the Olympic teams in 2016, that's got to be one of my favorites as well, because it was just absolutely unbelievable, powerful, meaningful. And these are the athletes that are competing for America, the country that our loved ones died to protect. And so that connection just always really takes me over. It really just is powerful. And it's all sport. This is how we use sport. And the connections, the families, the bonding, the, you know, people, lifelong friendships are built and connections are made, because in sports and entertainment, we give them foundation outside of the death. We all know, we're all wearing the same t-shirt. We all know we're there because someone we loved has died. But if we can, you know, connect people at a baseball game or at a theater performance, it really does allow for this, you know, connection to be gentle and powerful at the same time.
Well, you've shared quite a few experiences. I'm wondering what's been really meaningful just on the sports side alone for you.
You
That's
know,
probably hard to pick one or two, right?
I mean, I think the, you know, it's, I think on the sports side, one of the things that's been amazing that we've been able to do with sport has been in England, when
Oh.
we go over and we create opera. So this sort of circles back a little bit to the travel piece. But when we can go over with the NFL, and we've done it with the NBA and also Major League Baseball, and bring surviving families from both countries to an NFL game or to a Major League Baseball game or to a basketball game, those connections and bonds are really very powerful. And so I think when I see that, you know, the impact that the survivors, the American survivors, have on the Brits and how they come together, the idea for the international work was that their loved ones died together, right, on the battlefield, and let us come together and grieve on the home front, and let us connect and bond and share. So, you know, on the sports side, it's I'll tell you, Marsha, it's London, it's Glasgow when we do, you know, soccer up there. With the Glasgow Rangers. We also work with Liverpool. But it's the bonding and the connecting and the sharing that happens in the stands, in the suites, on the sidelines, that really does, you know, warm my heart. Because you see, when a little, you know, a little kid says, this is the best day of my life, you know, I get to honor my daddy with his favorite team, you know, that makes every day meaningful. I mean,
sure.
I get to, my whole team, we get to wake up every day and do all the, you know, the back end and logistics and all those pieces. But also, we think about, like, how can we make someone's life better who sacrificed so much for peace and freedom? Like, and what a beautiful task that is.
Truly. I just, it's sort of mind-boggling because, you know, how we can connect as humans is so very important. And if you've lost your grandpa, or you've lost your daddy, or you've lost your uncle, or whomever, your aunt, it's not just men that die, you know, to be able to bring people together that understand that better than anybody else, and then allow them to have a sense of enjoyment as you recognize them, is just, it's just amazing to me, really. I don't know who came up with the idea of doing this, but it sure is tremendous. So we've talked about
on a sleepless night on base in Kabul, and that's the. But you know what, Marshall, you're so kind to say that. But so much of this has been, hey, I think this is a good idea, and let's do it and try it. And then all of these amazing things evolved from it, right? The fact that, like, men come to more taps. Events for the first time, come to a sporting event, and then they connect to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I had no idea at the time. I mean, I wasn't thinking at the time that this would be a very good entry point for the population. But it is, because you may be really hard for you to go into a room and talk about how your son died by suicide with a bunch of other survivors. But if you can do that at a basketball game, it makes it a little bit easier. So the benefits of this, you know, something else is the light is shining on something else that, like, oh wow, that was really powerful and that really worked.
Were you ever able to, like, have one of your young people throw out the first pitch?
Yes.
Or drop the hockey puck or do those kinds of things?
We have done, we've had survivors do a first pitch. We've had survivors sing the national anthem.
Oh, yes.
So those moments are incredible. And so in addition to that, you know, recognition on the Jumbotron, first pitch, starting nine, so we'll have survivors on the field with the players, you know, and a roll call done of the names of their loved ones. So all sorts of things that... you know, make it special and meaningful, so that this is not just, you know, 400 tickets in the 400 section. This is
right.
You know, family of four honoring someone who's raised his hand or her hand to protect and serve our country and tragically lost their life in whatever way. And that's the other thing I want to make sure I'm clear about. We provide comfort, care, and community to all those grieving the death of a military loved one or veteran, regardless of the cause of death and regardless of the relation to the deceased. So it's not how your person died, it's how they lived. And we focus on that very specifically in sports and entertainment. When we put together bios for the families so that the team knows who they're honoring, but also the service member, it might include in there all of their, it'll definitely include all their military honors and and a bit about their education and history and all that. But it'll also say they like to barbecue on Sunday. Or, you know, he was a big fan of the rodeo on top of being a high school baseball player. Because you never know what is going to make that extra connection, right? And so when NFL teams pair up our families with a player for Salute to Service, which, as I mentioned, is in the month of November, they'll look for commonalities, right? Do they have a player who is a big barbecue person? Maybe they would connect him with that service member or that fallen hero. Because it's so personal, because this is about, you know, you know, Captain John Smith, who's not here anymore, and how can we celebrate his life and service in a way that is meaningful for the team, for the family, and for the community? Because storytelling, as you so well know, Marcia, with the way you so beautifully give a platform to, you know, to your guests to be able to connect and share what drives them. You know, where's the passion come from?
Right.
And so, you know, I thank you sincerely for that and in giving people a voice and a platform and doing it in a way that's so meaningful and literally tracking us down in that restaurant saying, hey, with the red shirts, what are you doing here? And tell me more about TAPS. I mean, that was such a gift.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
It was meant to be. My father was in the military and he was in the Army. And then when he got out of the Army, he was in the National Guard. And I grew up with my father going to summer camp for 2 weeks every year until he retired. I still have his uniform in my house.
Oh.
So my husband was not in the military, and my father-in-law was not in the military. But my father was in the military. And, you know, so I have a connection to that. And I processing what you're saying. And I think that anyone that's listening to this can do the same. Let's talk about the entertainment side, which is something else that you are also very involved in. So what's been really meaningful on the entertainment side of what you do?
So I'm so glad you asked. We have had entertainment side's been really, really exciting and fun, especially in the last few months. So the entertainment program is basically like the sports program. We create meaningful opportunities, but using the entertainment industry. And we started that about 5 years after. So 2018 is when we started to do the entertainment programs. And that's been great. The first ones we did were on Broadway. There was a show called Bandstand on Broadway. And we had an opportunity to meet the cast and spend time with them. After the show, we met the cast and we had time. We watched the show, which was incredible. And then we had a party at Sardi's in New York City after the show, and they all came and we got to share and connect and bond. And that show was about, you know, the band was made up of these service members who had just returned from war, and they had all the different. You know, all had all different, obviously, personalities, but one person was struggling with PTS, one person was struggling with alcohol and all these things. And the show opens, if memory serves, with the leading female character getting a phone call that her husband, I think it was her husband or her fiance, had been killed. Mm. And so it immediately, and she was the lead singer of the band. And so there was this immediate connection of us kind of understanding and knowing. And so that was so meaningful, so, so meaningful. So doing the first really big event with a show like that was wonderful. And then we've also done the Bandstand, then Come From Away, which was a fantastic show on Broadway, and then also had a traveling company about Gander in Canada being the place where all the planes went to land on 9/11. So in addition to Broadway, and we've done like Phantom of the Opera when it was but we've also been able to do some concerts, which have been really exciting and fun. We did send survivors to a Taylor Swift concert, which was incredibly amazing experience for them. And I'm very, very grateful to the sponsor who took care of that. They're called ID Me. And they called up and said, we really want to do this for some of your bereaved military families. And they were jumping for joy, so thrilled for the opportunity to do it and also celebrate their heroes, right, in being in that space that was so meaningful to them. And in addition to, you know, we'll go to a film screening before it comes out. Like we saw Maverick, Top Gun Maverick, before it came out, about 2 weeks before it came out, which was amazing. And it's funny. We saw Top Gun Maverick in mid-May, and then 2 weeks later, I was thinking to myself, Miles Teller, who played Maverick in that. Played Rooster, Goose's son, in that film. We knew him. He had been part of a movie that we had gone to earlier, so we were able to connect with him. And he then did a fundraiser through one of his companies to
support. Oh my gosh!
So like meaningful that way. But I will tell you, probably the most meaningful was this past December when it aired. Taps had a storyline in the Christmas episode of NCIS, which has been on the air for, you know, 23 seasons. We had done a set visit a number of years ago, and I had connected with one of the writers and executive producers, and we had become friends on Facebook. I mean, he... You know, for 6 or 7 years, you know, we just sort of liked each other's posts or whatever. And he was always lovely and talking about the show on, you know, on his social media. And then I'm at an event in England at Highclere Castle. Lord and Lady Carnarvon of Highclere Castle are very supportive of Taps. Highclere Castle is where they used to film Downton Abbey. And I'm at an event in England with at the castle with them. And I get this note. Hi, Diana. I hope everything is going well. I'm writing the Christmas episode and would love to include Taps in the episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, oh, my God, that would be great. Wonderful. And, you know, and he was telling me it has to go through all the, you know, all the clearances and everything else. But wouldn't you know it, a number of weeks, over a month later, we were on set at NCIS filming the Christmas episode, filming the Taps scenes. And so there is a part in the episode where the main characters say, you know, they talk about TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, caring for the families of the fallen. And so for our charity to be featured in, you know, one of the longest running television shows on TV, and have it be a meaningful engagement, you know, talk about what the charity does. And then also they had Christmas party at the end where we had children in TAP shirts. They did a PSA at the end of the episode that if you want to learn more about TAPS, you know, go to our website. So when something like that happens, and CBS was, you know, really, really supportive of everything we were doing, the team at NCIS, and of course, you know, Scott Williams, the writer, you know, incredibly supportive. But when other people see the value in what we are doing and want to help us, you know, to help us help the families, that is probably, you know, the most meaningful element for me on sports or entertainment side. When the NFL said to me, we love seeing families at games, this is many years ago, we love seeing the families at the games, but we really want to be part of the healing journey, we want to be part of the process. And it was like, oh my gosh, what a gift to have, you know, the National Football League say that, or have, you know, the NBA say they want to meet families, they want to understand, they want to know, they want to be part of all of that, they want to be part of the support programming that we put together. The NBA for years comes out to the national seminar where we have 2,000 survivors, and they give shirts away to everybody, and they have basketball players there and referees there and all of these things. And that's one of the things that's so great, is that people want to help, they want to engage, they want to make a difference. And making a difference is so, Marcia, it's
touches your soul.
Yeah.
Yep. It touches your soul. You know, are you ever on programs like the Today Show or Good Morning America or any of those kind of shows?
So we have had some earned media in the past. You know, it really does depend on kind of what's happening in the space, you know. We had some wonderful earned media. We have a fantastic policy team headed up by two women named Candace Wheeler and Ashlyn Haycock-Lohman, and they advocate for survivors on the Hill. So whether it's survivor benefits, we have a something called the Love Lives On Act to try to get benefits for survivors for them to maintain their benefits after, you know, if a widow remarries, all sorts of things. So all different facets of TAPS get that kind of earned media news coverage. But yes, it would, I mean, any of those kinds of things, we would love to be able to tell the story as often as we can.
Well, you know, you're just a remarkable woman. I'm just wondering, I think this is almost redundant. What brings you joy professionally? I think you live a life of joy, but professionally, what brings you joy?
You know, you're very kind to say that. I think what brings me joy professionally is to see the impact that we can make. You know, assembling all the things, right? Because it's not about us. We're on the sidelines. You know, me and my remarkably amazing team, and any team that I've had, you know, in the 13 years I've been doing this, or, you know, we are on the sidelines. It's not about us honoring anyone. We are facilitating opportunities that our partners have put together for the families. So to stand there and to watch something, you know, happen that we have facilitated with our partners, and for the families just to be, you know, honored in such a way. I mean, somebody cries at every event. I was going to say, I wrote in my little blurb, it'll likely be me. But those moments where there is this recognition and the joy, you know, these are families who have sacrificed so much for peace and freedom. And I've probably said that 3 or 4 times already on this podcast. And if I haven't, they have sacrificed so much for peace and freedom so that we can live the way that we do, these precious families. And so when we can bring them joy, whether it's taking them to a game, whether it's flying them over to England for an opportunity, you know, whether it's taking them to the movies.
Right.
That's what gives me joy professionally. And to work with some of the amazing people that I work with, in addition to my team and the staff at TAPS, who are mostly all surviving family members. My team is not. But most of the staff at TAPS are surviving family members or members of the military or part of the military family.
That's nice.
And, but also we get to work with active duty service members and veterans. You know, I get to work with amazing people in the sports industry, like really, really wonderful people. The people I work with at the NBA are absolutely remarkable, absolutely incredible. The NFL, Major League Baseball, they are amazing. The NHL referees, they create beautiful moments. The officials, the guys running around the ice, you know, calling offsides. They are unbelievable. They invite families. They and the NBA referees invite families with their tickets, or they buy tickets, and they give them a VIP experience prior to the game to learn all about what it's like to be an official or a referee. How cool is that?
Really? I'm just thinking about the events that I go to. Has anybody ever got to throw out the first pitch?
Yeah, yes. First pitch, I'm trying to remember the last time we had a first pitch. We've had first pitches with the Washington Nationals. Again, they were our first team.
Right.
We had a first pitch with the Padres. I know we've had a handful of others. At this point, with you know, 150 to 200 events a year, I can't go to everything, so I don't remember.
How fun.
Yeah, we've been able to do some really amazing things. I will say, I know you love the Sparks, and we've done an event with the Sparks. Our first one was in 2024. We have done an event with, we've done events with the Clippers, which has been great. We were just at NBA All-Star.
No kidding.
Yeah, at the Inuit Dome in Los Angeles, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was in California 4 times in about 5 weeks in the month of February and mid-March. And all incredible events, right? I mean, really, really meaningful events. And the Clippers, that arena, wow!
Oh, gosh. Well, Steve Ballmer is an incredible man. But that Intuit Dome is really amazing.
It's a really special place.
Well,
and
I'd like to
say, the Dodgers, Marcia, I mean,
yes.
I got it. So when we were in Los Angeles for and I know you'll appreciate this, for All-Star, we went to the Home Run Derby, at the Dodger Stadium, and as a New Yorker, Grew up a Yankees fan. I have to say, Dodger Stadium is really, really special. I mean, it's
It
probably one of my favorite, sport venues in America. It's really, really special.
It's
But one of
cool.
the things I loved most about what the Dodgers did during COVID, we were really able to tap into. We pivoted quickly as an organization, and on the sports side, we pivoted quickly to putting everything online. We couldn't do. We couldn't, like, our salute to service events with the NFL, we couldn't go to the game and we couldn't go to have the VIP practice, but we still were able to honor fallen heroes on the helmets of the players. So what they did, Marsha, at like, I think it was the Eagles, they put iPads on a robot on the way to the practice, so the players could wave at the families.
Oh, how
And
cool
say hello to them and connect with them, and then the families could watch the practice from the iPad with a robot. And we were able to get online with teams, with coaches, unbelievable
that.
coaches in sport, across sport. I mean, and I'm not just talking, I mean, who were able to engage meaningfully on Zoom and all those ways that were just incredible. But one of the
Absolutely.
things that the Dodgers did, and I don't mean to keep cutting you off, but I got to tell you what your favorite baseball team did.
Yes.
They lit up with Taps. They lit up the sky, and they did, and it was like a number of different lights in the sky during COVID, and that was in recognition with Taps. It was, I don't know if you remember that, but it was so
Wonderful.
meaningful.
Yeah. When was that?
When was, oh God, I don't remember exactly the year that it was. Maybe, I mean, 20, probably 2020 or 2021.
Okay, so quite a while ago. Okay. Yeah.
And we've been able to do some, more things with the Dodgers. With the teams in California have been very good to us. We've been working with the 49ers for a number of years, and obviously the Rams and the Chargers and the Clippers and the Lakers. I mean, so a lot of goodness. But it really, for those three leagues, it's every team across or franchise across those three leagues. So that's been a gift too. And if a family member has a story with a team that we don't already work with, we will call that team and we will
Wonderful.
say, "This is what we do, and we'd love to work with you, and we'd love to create this opportunity." And we all years, Marsha, I heard no once.
Isn't that wonderful? And
And the
somebody that's
Dodgers.
listening to this right now and thinking, this would be perfect for our family, that they can absolutely go to your website and contact you and talk to you.
Absolutely. Visit the website. Call the helpline, and just say you want to speak with sports and entertainment. We are here, and it is a joy for us when survivors reach out and we're able to, what I say, make the magic for them.
Do you have something that just, I've heard what brings you professional joy. Is there something that just touches your heart personally?
I think about,
Mm-hmm.
of course, my family, and really, I mean, if we're getting personal, it's meditation and art. Those are the things that really do kind of center me, and I definitely feel like, you have this big life, right, where we're running around and doing all these events and traveling the world and doing this and that. We launched Taps Australia last summer with a pilot of programming to do there, which was great. But in order to do all of that professionally and to be able to execute it to the level that it needs to be, because to me, the highest level of excellence is the only thing that's acceptable, because it is families of the fallen, honoring their heroes. And also our partners deserve that. Our families deserve it and our partners deserve it. So only the highest level of excellence. So in order to do that, I need, I've got to fill my own cup, right? And so my family does that. I have a core group of really wonderful friends who nurture me in a way that, and at my age now, I'm like, we don't make time for the people that don't nurture us. And then of course the art, because as I said earlier, looking at something beautiful is good for the inside of me, and that's sometimes where I come up with the ideas. It's not when I'm sitting working at my desk that I come up with a great idea for something. A lot of times it's just sitting in my garden
Right.
at home.
For me, when I'm walking outside, you know what I do sometimes? I'll get this idea, and I always have my phone on, like a lot of people. And when I'm out walking and I'll get this idea, I'll send myself a text so I don't forget it.
That's a great idea.
One of the ways I do, and I know you and I both have meditation in common as well. In the little bit of time that we have left, I'd like to know, what's up next for you at TAPS? Do you have another desire that you'd like to accomplish?
Well, I was promoted in December, so I think I mentioned that earlier. So I'm focusing on how else we can grow. You know, one of the things that is critical for any charity in the nonprofit world is funding. So always looking for new and innovative ways to raise money, so that to support our programs. You know, what can we do to support the families? Can we create some new programming that is innovative and that will have impact? So that's what's up next. More of that. We've got a huge amount of stuff in the sports world coming. I mean, there's a World Cup coming, so hopeful we'll have an opportunity to send a family to a World Cup game, which I think would be really lovely. And then some other big things. I would say
we've got the Olympics coming to LA.
Yep, we do have the Olympics coming to LA, and there's certainly a desire to do that. You know, the goal is obviously to continue with USA Basketball, what we've been doing for a number of years now, and then potentially something with US Soccer. But with the games itself would be really fantastic, and we'd love to do that. But I will say, coming up sooner rather than later is, I mentioned that we made a draft pick in the 2017 draft, and we've done a draft pick every year since. So there might be something on the horizon at the end of this month for TAPS at the NFL draft. So I can't tell you more than that, but I will just say keep tuned.
That's great. You know, there's a lot of people that are role models in our life, and if you just had to stop and think about that, who would you say would have been your role models?
Right off the bat is my mother. My mother showed me how to love without condition. She showed me how to care in ways that I demonstrate each and every day. She passed away in September of 2024, and gave me the incredible gift of art, of loving art, the incredible gift of being kind, the incredible gift of being creative, thinking differently, thinking out of the box. You know, I want to say she gave me life more than once. And I think on the professional side, as I mentioned earlier, I worked for Eunice Kennedy Shriver. I worked for Special Olympics, and I had the incredible benefit of doing communications. So with Mrs. Shriver, when a media crew would come in to interview her about Special Olympics, I would handle that. But if a media crew came in to talk to her about the Kennedy legacy, or Governor Schwarzenegger, or Maria's new book, or whatever the case may be, so it was a real learning experience. It was a history lesson every day. And the same thing with Sergeant Shriver, who was started the Peace Corps and was this incredibly exceptional man. So I really learned from them about service. And that, initially my mother was the seed planter, and I think what I saw in Mr. and Mrs. Shriver really, really exploded in me of this idea of service, and who better to learn from than those
yes.
two. And I always felt that Mrs. Shriver found a hole in the world and filled it, with people with intellectual disabilities when she started Special Olympics, to give them opportunities to come together, to unite, to give them do their personal best, and to do it on this global platform, and to have this, this opportunity for connection and sharing and victory in a way that was just magnificent. And then I worked there for 7 years, and then I left Special Olympics, and I did some other projects, and I had my daughter, and then I came to TAPS. And I will say, when I look to Bonnie Carroll, the founder of TAPS, who took what her took the pain and turned it into purpose. She turned her pain into a passion to create a world. She too found a hole in the world and filled it with love and opportunity and connection and God, and just a way for people to come together.
Yes.
Needed one another, that peer-based emotional support. And, you know, you talk to anyone in any space, whether it's military loss, whether it's, you know, somebody who's surviving cancer, someone who's an alcoholic. It is all those, that peer-based emotional support is key to the world. And what Bonnie created changed the world for the surviving military families.
Well,
and that's why her work is replicated in like 50 countries around the world because, you know, she's going all over the place sharing this humanitarian work because it is so brilliant. And so,
well,
taking
so,
that
here's, gift. So here's what's happened. That's precisely what you've done today. And I'm so grateful that you were able to share your story with our listeners because you just never know what you've tapped into today. And that wasn't supposed to be, I used the word tap, didn't I? But I just want to thank you, Diana, for just sharing your passion, because anybody that's listening to this can feel it. And that's what I felt when I saw you just out of the blue. So thank you so very much for joining me today and sharing your story with our listeners. It's been tremendous.
Oh, Marcia, it's been a gift and such a pleasure to know you and talk to you and share, and I'm grateful for you.
And I look forward to seeing you when you come out to one of these sporting events. I've got space in my home. So I'll leave it at that. All right, everybody, have a lovely rest of your week. And perhaps you can see when you go to this fabulous website how you can support this organization as well. Until next time, bye, everybody.